Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Ayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the beginning of the new perek on Daf Ayin, in the middle of the page, Perek Ha'orel, the eighth perek of Yevamos. The name Ha'orel is one who is uncircumcised. The topic heading that we have on the side, it reads under the Nosei, the topic heading, Kohanim Ha'asurim Ba'achilas Truma. The Mishnah features different situations where a Kohen is prohibited from eating truma. So the Mishnah, Ha'orel, a Kohen who is uncircumcised. Rashi points out, this is a case where a Kohen had two brothers that were circumcised and they died as a result of the circumcision. The third brother is not to be circumcised. The numbers aren't mentioned here. There happens to be a machlokes tanoim, whether it's after two brothers or after three. Rebbe holds two, Rebbe Shmuel holds three. The issue concerning how many times is it necessary for something to repeat itself in order for a chazoka to be established. Let's continue in the Mishnah. So we mentioned the orel, the hol hatmeim, people who are ritually defiled. Lo yochlu b'truma. They cannot eat of truma. Even though they're kohanim, they can't eat of truma. Nesheim v'avdeim yochlu b'truma. Their wives and their servants, they are able to eat truma in his merit. The pasuk says, Kohen ki yikne kinyan kaspo. A kohen who acquires, it could be the acquisition that we refer to as marriage, or the acquisition, as is the case in slavery. These are kohanim who experienced an injury in the area of their male reproductive organs. They are a psuadaka nekushavcha. They are limited in whom they can marry. They cannot marry standard pedigree Jewish women. Nevertheless, that limitation doesn't restrict, isn't the cause of their being restricted from truma. Hein ve'avdein yochlu, they and their servants can eat. Unesheim, now their wives, which these are women that were married to these people before the injury occurred. So they started eating in the merit of their husbands. Lo yochlu, but the women who remained with these Ptsuadaka husbands, once he becomes a Ptsuadaka or Khrushchev, so their wives are no longer to eat. In fact, they become rendered unfit to the kuna. They become halolus at the point that they have intimacy after the injury sets in. So the Mishnah says, "V'im lo yada mishnas tzuadaka kushavcha." The word yada is a word referring to intimacy. If he did not have intimacy with his wife yet, he didn't have intimacy with her. He's not supposed to have intimacy with her. But if he does, so the Mishnah said, she loses her rights to eat truma. She becomes disqualified from the realm of kahuna. She becomes a chalola. However, until the actual act of intimacy takes place, by the mere fact that they are technically still married, so the Mishnah says, Hare elu yochlu. The women folk, the wives of these kohanim, are allowed to eat. Eat means eat truma. V'ezo psuadaka. What does psuadaka mean? Kol shenitzu habeitzim shelo v'afilu achas mehen. if the term beitzim here is a reference to the male organ of reproduction, the testicles, and one of them, even if one of them is injured, niftsu, injured or crushed, that renders him unfit. Ukrus shavcha, what is that a reference to? Kol shenichras hagid, any situation where the male organ itself is cut off. Ve'im nishtayer me'atora v'afilu kechut hasayra kosher. If there remains the uppermost, or the, we'll say the endmost part of the male organ, we call the bris mila, if the end of it remains, even a hair's breadth of it remains, then he's still kosher. In other words, in a situation like that, the extremity of it was cut off, but if from the Atorah literally is the crown, it's the end section of flesh of that particular organ, if even a chut hasayra, a hair's breadth, remains, so he is still kosher. The thinking being that he's still capable of engaging in procreation if just the end fleshy part was cut off, assuming a kechut hasayra remains. But below that fleshy part towards the body, if it's cut off, so that is a krus shavcha. The Gemara, Tanya. Maybe we should just glance at the side under our no say. The topic heading, we read, Mokor, a source, de Orel, Kohen, Osir, Betruma. We'll see in this discussion the source that indicates that they are an Orel, uncircumcised Kohen, is restricted from Truma consumption. We'll see the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Tanya, Oma Rabbi Eliezer, Minayin la'orel she'ein oichel b'truma. From where do we know that an orel is restricted from truma consumption? She'ne'emar toishav v'sochir b'pesach. The terms toishav and sochir appear in the case of a korban pesach, where the pasuk says toishav v'sochir lo yochal bo. Ve'ne'emar toishav v'sochir b'truma. And the same expression toishav v'sochir applies or appears by Truma. We are not translating these words yet. We'll wait for the Gemara. Ma toisha v'sochir omur b'pesach orel oser bo. Just like in the case of the Korban Pesach, we know that an uncircumcised person is restricted, and that is based on psukim that appear explicitly in the case of a Korban Pesach. So af toisha v'sochir omur b'truma, so too the same expression, toshav and socher, appear in the case of truma. It is understood that orel oser bo. Just like, once again, in the case of Pesach, orel is found explicitly with toshav and socher. So too, in truma, where orel doesn't appear explicitly, but toshav and socher do appear, so it, as a result of the Gezeirah Shava, it is understood that Orel is also forbidden in Truma. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Eino Tzarch. Rabbi Akiva says you don't need that Gezeirah Shava. Hare Hu Omer, it says in the case of Truma itself, a double expression, Ish Ish L'Rabois HaOrel. The double expression tells me that all kinds of Kehanim, Ish Ish. But if we look in Rashi, you'll see it a little more clearly. Rashi says, "Ish ish mizer alon v'utzor ozov l'rabos orel ketome." An orel is considered like a tome eitzel achilas truma when it comes to the eating of truma. The Baha'i Kro, Rashi says, "Truma ksiv tichtiv uvo hashemesh v'toyer v'achar yochal min hakodashim." It says, "And when the sun sets and then he becomes purified, he can then eat from that which is sanctified." V'hainu truma desagi leber of shemesh. By the fact that the Torah mentions the setting of the sun, even though the word truma you don't see so explicitly, you see the word kodashim, the sanctified items, but Rashi's pointing out that you shouldn't think that that's a reference to sacrificial consumption, because a person who was, let's say, defiled and then immerses himself in a mikveh does not achieve full purification until the next day. That's a rather broad topic, but for our purposes now, we'll just say that Rashi pointing out that we know it's referring to Truma because all the Torah requires is the setting of the sun after the mikveh immersion. So the Pasuk is telling us by the double expression, Ish Ish is coming to include another category like Tuma, and that is Aurel. Before we go further, we have a structural note on the side, the Mivneh. You see a bow tie featured, and we mentioned Mu'ad. This is designed L'Kasher Ha Demuva L'Kamon on Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph. That which we'll see on Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, which is a little way off to this point. B'Shnei HaMakoros HaGemara Masbir Shitas HaTanoim Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Akiva. In these two sources, the Gemara will be dealing with the opinions of Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim. And the if you have the Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph in front of you, if you have access to it, so you might want to note that on the upper quarter of the page, the Gemara is quoting there Rebbe Akiva from our Tanaic source that we just read. So the Gemara will deal first with Rebbe Elazar at some length, and then get to Rebbe Akiva there on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. So Omar Mar, a quote from that which we just read, Rebbe Elazar Omer Ne'emar Toshev V'Socher BePesach V'Ne'emar Toshev V'Socher B'Truma. The same expression, Toshev V'Socher, appear in both topics. Ma Toshev V'Socher Omer BePesach Orel Oser Bo. Just like in the case of Pesach, where the term Toshev and Socher appear, we know that an uncircumcised person is forbidden from a Korban Pesach. Af Toshev and Socher, Omer B'Truma, Orel Osir Bo. So too, by Truma, it is self-understood. Because you see the same expression, Toshev and Socher, so Orel is also prohibited in Truma. The Gemara makes a comment which is characteristic of Gezeira Shabbos. There are several rules that govern this idea of a word comparison. For a word comparison to be truly effective and impervious to challenge, this is true if the expressions are truly extra. So that if you find that the expressions that are used to make the Gezeira Shabbos are actually necessary to be written for, we'll say, obvious reasons, or for simplistic reasons, or for inherent reasons, inherent to that given topic. So you can challenge the Gezeira Shavah if you have a point of logic that can be raised. However, if the expressions are called free, are available, because they're not telling me something new, so that makes the Gezeira Shavah all the stronger. That might sound a little abstract. Let's try to put things into practice. So Rebbe Elazar mentioned to us that Toshev and Socher appear in these two topics, Pesach and Truma. And we said, just like by Toshev and Socher by Pesach, the Orel is Osir, so too Toshev and Socher by Truma means it implies the Orel is Osir. And the Gemara says Mufneh. Mufneh means extra or available. Di lav Mufneh, if the expression Toshev and Socher was not available, Ika lemifrach, you could challenge the logic, or you can challenge the comparison through logic. We're not using logic when you make Gzeira Shava, but the antithesis of an effective Gzeira Shava, the undoing, I should say, of an accurate or a powerful and effective Gzeira Shava would be a challenge to the logic. A challenge through logic to the comparison. What possible challenge could you raise here? Ma lepesach shekein chayovin olav mishum pigul v'noyser v'tomei. Pesach has additional points of severity attached to it. Pesach is a sacrifice, so it can become subject to these other disqualifying factors. We're not going to get into the details, we're not going to explain them, it's not important for right now, but just realize that Pigol, Nosar, and Tomei are problems that can affect a Korban, primarily Pigol and Nosar. these are things that can affect the korban, which these issues would not affect truma. So, being that Pesach has these additional points of stringency attached to it, I can understand that an orel would also be prohibited in the realm of eating a korban Pesach. It's not so by truma. Truma doesn't have pigul and nosar to it. The presence here of tuma, I should point out, Rashi adds that a person that would eat a sacrifice in a state of a bodily defilement, which we call tumas aguf, he would be subject to the kores punishment. Now, kores punishment is not present in one who violates the rules of truma. So Gemara continues, lie, afnuye mufne, lie, you might say, ironically for the English-speaking people that we are, lie really means truth. It means in truth. Afnuye mufne. The toshev sochir expression is extra. In other words, the Torah didn't have to write it. It wrote it to key me in to compare Pesach to Truma. The Gemara asks, hey, Mufne, which words on the in this equation of the Pesach-Truma comparison, which words are extra, are available? In the Truma, Mitzrach Tzrichi, if the Toshev and Socher expression in the context of Truma is supposedly extra, it's not. It is necessary to teach me about the topic of Truma itself. It's not an extra expression. The brackets that we have here make it easier to maintain the logical flow. If you skip to three lines from the bottom, Elo de Pesach Mufni. The Toshev and Socher expression that you find by Pesach is extra. And the Gemara will go on to elaborate on that. Before we get to that point, we go over the bracketed section. We have a starred note on the side. Sagraim l'shem diluk. These brackets are for skipping, as we just demonstrated. L'hokel akriya, to make the reading, the flow of the reading, easier. B'soicha sagraim mufo mokor b'inyin truma shemisham royem d'toshe v'socher mitzrach tzrichi. We'll bring a Tanaic source and show how the terms toshev and socher are actually necessary in the case of truma. Now, having said all of this, toshev and socher have to do, as we will see in the source, with workers, sometimes referred to as slaves, but they're Jewish slaves that are in servitude of a kohen. We know that a kohen who acquires a heathen servant, that heathen servant is entitled to eat of truma. You might say that's a function of the kohen owning him, lock, stock, and barrel. We call that a kinyan haguf in Talmudic language. When it comes to a Jewish servant, the level of ownership is not as significant. One interesting point of difference, you could see how that manifests itself in halachic terms, is that when one, let us say, were to release from servitude a heathen servant, he would have to write the equivalent of a divorce document. We call that a get shichur, a divorce, a freedom divorce, where there's a separation through a document similar to that of a divorcing a wife. The bond is very intimate, if you will. The Eved Ivri, the Jewish servant, doesn't reach that level of bonding, of connection. And you might say, as a result of that, the servant, the Jewish servant of a Kohen, does not take on or acquire truma rights, because he's not really that much a part of the Kohen. When we speak about Jewish servants, and we'll see this in our source very shortly, there are two kinds. There's the standard, the basic 6-year servant, where a Jew can sell himself into servitude for a period of 6 years, and in the 7th year of his work, he goes free. There's another situation which we call a Jewish servant that works for you, la'olam. La'olam technically means permanently, but it really means la'olam shel'yovel. He works until the Jubilee year. When the Jubilee year comes, so the korosim dror, the freedom is proclaimed, and the all Jewish servants go free. It might be known to many of you that the Jewish servant who elects to remain beyond the 6 years, the Torah makes reference to a ceremony whereby his ear is bored. And that indicates that he remains enslaved in the, according to the Torah's parameters, until the Jubilee year, until the Yovel year. Nevertheless, these people are referred to in the Torah by the terms Toshav and Sochir. They do not partake of Truma. We're going to see some logic in the bracketed section that sounds something like this. Do I really need the Torah to tell me that a six-year man and a Jubilee man are prohibited from Truma consumption when they're working by a Kohen? If I were to tell you that the fellow who works till the Jubilee year, who's really bound up with the Kohen, he's got his ear bored, and nevertheless, he doesn't partake of Truma, the guy who's there just for 6 years is quite temporary, relatively speaking. He's really not part of the Kohen family. He certainly would not partake of Truma. Why does the Torah spell out both characters, both individuals, when it would have seemingly been enough to tell me the guy who works till the Jubilee doesn't eat Truma, so certainly the guy who's there on a more temporary basis is not going to eat from Truma. So we have to explain why the Torah does say both. Desanya, Toshav, the word Toshav means Ze Konui Kinyan Olam. Kinyan Olam means for permanent possession. That means permanence only insofar as up till the Yovel year. But for our purposes, it means a long-term servitude. Sochir, Ze Konui Kinyan Shanim. The Sochir is a reference to someone who has been acquired just for 6 years. The Yomar Toshav al Yomar Sochir. Let the Torah write that the Toshav does not partake of Truma, making it really unnecessary for the Torah to tell me about the Sochir, who's working just 6 years. Vani Yomer, and I would figure on my own. Konoi Kinyan Oilameno Ochel, a fellow who has been purchased, acquired for forever, till Yovel, does not eat. Konoi Kinyan Shana Mokoshin, the guy who's there who's just for 6 years, certainly is not going to eat from Truma. So why does the Torah, after writing the word Toshav, have to write Sochir? It would seem to be obvious that he would not be partaking of Truma. So we answer, Ilu Kain Hoyisi Yomer. Had the Torah written just the word Toshav, and not the word Sochir, I would have said, Toshav ze kanoi kinyan shanim. See, the word itself doesn't have the definition of the time definition built into it. It just says Toshav. So I would have thought, Toshav, that's a guy who the Kohen acquired for 6 years. Avol gonoi kinyan olam, ochel. But a servant who remains by the Kohen, lo'olam, till the Jubilee year, he would be, he's really part of the Kohen family. He would be able to eat Truma. Bo sochir v'limed al Toshav. So the Torah writes another word. It writes the sochir word. So the sochir is, we're told, doesn't eat from Truma either. So sochir comes and teaches me about Toshav. She'af api she'konoi kinyan olam. Even though he's there working for you, the Kohen, forever. Ein ochel. Namely, not only does the six-year guy not eat, but even the guy who's there till the Yovel. So what we have shown is that you need to have both words written in the case of the Truma. So you can't describe Toshav and Sochir in our Gezerah Shava equation. You can't describe Toshav and Sochir as being extra words. You need the Torah to spell out both. Elo de Pesach Mufni. The terms Toshav and Sochir are extra. Ha, in the case of Pesach. And we saw in the Chumash We have quoted on the side of our Gemara before, Toshav Esochir, in the case of the Korban Pesach, it said, Toshav Esochir lo yochal bo. So, hi Toshav Esochir, Dekos Rachmona, but Pesach, my new. Who are Toshav Esochir over there? And here's something that could be very tricky if you didn't have the oral law. Up till now, we described Toshav Esochir as Jewish servants working for another Jew. Can that possibly be the explanation of those words, the same words, by Pesach? Inema Toshav Esochir mamish. Mamish means literal, and literal would mean Jews that are working either for 6 years or having their ears bored, and the Torah says that Toshav Esochir shall not eat of the Korban Pesach. That's impossible. And you have to read this now with exclamation. Mishum da'ave le Toshav Esochir iftar le mi Pesach. Just because someone is working for another, one Jew is working for another Jew, he should be exempted from the Pesach. Now here, be careful with the logic is it's simple but it's tricky. By the truma, we said that the toshiv and sochir does not eat from the truma. What does that show you about the toshiv and sochir by the truma? It shows you that he is an independent individual. He's not a Kohen. He's not part and parcel of the Kohen family. Alma, we continue at the top of Daf Ayin Omid Beis. We see from this, Lo Koni Le Rabbe, that the Toshav and Socher Mamish are people that are not acquired lock, stock, and barrel. They might have a work debt indebtedness, but they're not described as being acquired, owned by the Kohen owner. Hachonami, by the Korban Pesach, the Toshav Socher Mamish, the definition of Tosh Socher, meaning the simple definition, meaning a Jewish servant, Lo Koni Le Rabbe. He wouldn't be owned by the in the case of Korban Pesach. Likewise, the Jewish servant is not owned by the master. He's a full-fledged Jew. So you can't say that Toshav and Sochir by the Korban Pesach is it means a Jewish servant, just like it meant over there by Truma. Elo Lafnuye. So the use of those words, Toshav and Sochir, by the Korban Pesach are stuck in there by the divine power that created the Torah. It's stuck in there to key me in to this Gezeirah Shavah, that you should compare Pesach to Truma. And just like by Pesach, the Orel is prohibited, as it says explicitly, so too the Orel is prohibited from eating Truma. Ve'akati mufne mitzad echad hu. But still, the equation is the Gezeirah Shavah equation that we made is open, is available for being concluded on one side of the equation. We are currently working to explain the source featuring Rebbe Eliezer. He is the one that made this Gezeirah Shavah Toshav Esochir. There's one problem. V'shamino lei l'Rebbe Eliezer, we know Rebbe Eliezer to hold the Omar mufne mitzad echad l'meidin u'meshivin, a Gezeirah Shavah that is open or available only on one side of the equation. In this case, it's available in the realm of Pesach. We said that you need to have Toshav and Socher spelled out in the case of Truma. So you can attempt to make the Gezeirah Shavah, but it is subject to rebuttal. That's Meshivan. To answer, to respond, to question. And in this case, there is room for questioning. We said that logically, the two topics really cannot be compared. The Orel is found to be usher in the Korban Pesach because Korban Pesach has additional stringencies. So we're back to where we started. We don't have a solid, reliable Gezeira Shava. The Gemara answers, Kevon de legufe lo tzarech, since the terms Toshev and Sochir, the two words, Toshev and Sochir, that are written by the Korban Pesach are unnecessary. In other words, those words just can't mean what they usually mean. We said that the Toshev and Sochir, a Jewish slave, a Jewish servant, he's obligated in eating a Korban Pesach. How can you say that Toshev and Sochir lo yachabo means what it is? Therefore, it's for Gzeira Shava, but they're two words. And since the words are not necessary ligufe for the topic of Korban Pesach itself, Shodi Chad Alomeid V'Shodi Chad Amilameid V'Havile Gzeira Shava Mufne Mishne Tzodim. Shodi means you send it, associate one of the two words with the lomeid. The lomeid is the product of our investigation, namely truma. I'm trying to derive, we'll call it truma is the unknown. That's the lomeid, the thing, the item being derived. So one of the words will be, one of the two words, toshev and socher, that you find by Pesach will be associated with truma, and the other will remain by Pesach. That's v'shodichan amilameid, the source that has the information, the known. In this case, Pesach is the known concerning Orel. So what I've done here through the power of the oral tradition, v'havile gzeira shava mufna mishnei tzadim, and now we have a gzeira shava that's free on both sides of the equation. This exhibition of biblical gymnastics is something that we, each one of us that sit and open up a Torah text, whether it be any Torah text, and attempt to do these on our own because we just feel like doing it, forget it. These are all based on oral traditions, called halacha lamoshe misinai, traditions that have been passed down, and they're recorded in the Talmud. On one's own, one does not engage in this type of study. In other words, I say on one's own, one doesn't invent these things on his own when he simply opens up different passages in the Chumash and says, I feel like comparing the same words in two different topics. In this case, you see an additional level of intricacy by two words in one topic being split apart from one another, cut and paste, using contemporary jargon. On the side of the Gemara, we have a mivne, a structural note. The diamond introduces, Im loimdim truma mipesach, meinyan psul orel. If we are going to derive truma from Pesach regarding the disqualification of someone who is uncircumcised, ha'im yesh la'shvoisam l'dvorim acherim, should we compare truma to Pesach regarding other matters? So let's see. Continuing in the Gemara with a question, ima Pesach oinei noser bo, if by the Korban Pesach we know that an onein is an individual who just suffered bereavement of one of his close relatives. He hasn't, the deceased hasn't been buried yet. During that time, point in time between demise and burial, the close relatives are called oinonim. A person who is an onain is disqualified from the Korban Pesach, from eating the Korban Pesach. Rashi gives the source for that, not important for us right now. But the Pesach we know is prohibited to an onein. Are you going to say af truma onein aser ba, a kohen who just suffered the bereavement of a close relative, is he to cease from truma consumption? Not true. So you see that we're not comparing the topic of truma to the topic of Pesach fully. Omar Rabbi Yosef Chanina, Omar Kra, v'chol zar. The pasuk in reference to truma, it says, kol zar. Zar is a reference to someone who's a non-Kohen. Zorus amarti loch velo aninus. As a disqualifying factor for truma, the Torah, in fact, limits the disqualifying to the realm of Zorus, not to the realm of aninus. The aninus is a reference to the Kohen himself, who's an O-name. Who is prohibited from truma? A non-Kohen. A Kohen is not disqualified. So therefore, even if he's an O-name, he's entitled to eat truma. Question. Emo velo arlus. The pasuk that, by the way, reads on the side of the Gemara, the cholzar lo yochal kodesh toshev kohen v'sochir lo yochal kodesh. Who is to say then that when we read this expression with this limitation in mind, that Zoros is restricted but Aninus is not restricted? Maybe Zoros is restricted and Arlus is not restricted. And let an Orel eat from Truma, contrary to what we said in the opening of our Shiur today. The Gemara says, response, you can't say that Arlus, that an Orel is allowed to eat from Truma. Hok siv toishav v'sochir. We have the Gzera Shava from Pesach to Truma, telling me that an Orel is Aser. The Gemara asks, Uma Rois, what is it that you see to choose to disqualify the Orel and allow the Onain in Truma eating? Once you're comparing the topics, Pesach to Truma, and you have the basis of a comparison, let's compare Truma to Pesach regarding Aninus. Why is it that you're saying it's specifically Arlus that is the point of comparison? The more answers, Mistabra, Arlus Havinelir Buye, it's most likely that Arlus is the disqualifying factor that we will learn from Pesach, and not Aninus. And then we will now point out five unique points that are characteristic of Arlus, putting it at a level of severity beyond Aninus. The Gemara, in a few lines from now, might scan ahead. You see there's a squiggle line, Adarabah, and another dashed underline expression. There, the Gemara will flip things around and say, well, I can argue in the favor of Aninus to be a disqualifying factor for Truma. And it'll give you points of uniqueness to Aninus. So first, we deal with Arlus. So Gemara says, Mistabra Arlus Hava Le Lirbuye. It's most likely that Arlus is to be included in as a disqualifying factor. Shekain, and you have in parentheses, we'll say key words that are really the types of memory devices. Maisim Prusim Badover Ho'evet, and this will become clear as we go on in the Gemara. Number one, Mechuser Maisim. An Orel is a severe problem. It's an action that is lacking, namely the cutting of the foreskin, the circumcision. So he's severely deficient. He's missing a maisa. He's lacking the act of circumcision in his body. And we mentioned body umaisa begufo. It's something that's body related. It has a greater level of intensity in that sense. The onush kores, one who goes through life without tending to his circumcision, is subjecting himself to dying young. You know, it's cut off early. That's kores, the kores punishment. V'yeshno lifnei hadibor. It also occupies the unique position of being one of those very few commandments, mitzvos, that were given before the giving of the Torah. That's lifnei hadibor. Circumcision dates back to the time of Avraham Avinu. And number five, Umilas Zechorov Avodav Ma'akebes. If a person wants to partake, let us say, of a Korban Pesach, and he has children or servants in his household that have not been circumcised, then the owner, the father, cannot eat of the Korban Pesach. So that Arlus extends beyond the person himself. five unique, stringent, significant factors that make it logical to compare Truma to Korban Pesach with regard to Arlos, and not with regard to Aninus. Whereas in Pesach, the Onain is prohibited from the Korban Pesach, in Truma, the Onain is allowed to eat Truma. Adirabba, well, to the contrary, Aninus Havilei Lirbuyei, if you want to include as a disqualifying factor by Truma as derived from Pesach, I would elect to refer that comparison to Aninus. Shekein Yeshna B'chol Shah, as opposed to Mila, which is a one-time of event, a one-time action. Aninus, unfortunately, can befall a person at any time. V'noyheges v'anoshim v'anoshim is something that's unlike Arlus. This affects men and women across the boards, making it a more significant, more stringent issue, something, let's say, more worthy of being a disqualifying factor. V'ein b'yado l'sakin es atzmo, it's not something that's in his power to rectify, to improve, to change, as opposed to Mila, which is something in your power to care about, to care for. So why is it that we learn Truma from Pesach only with regard to Arlus and not with regard to Aninus, when, as we just said, reasons to compare Truma to Pesach with regard to Aninus and not with regard to Arlus? So the Gemara answers, Hanoch Nefishon. Answer number one. You see that Arlus has five unique points as opposed to the three points that you found by Aninus. Number two, Rav Omar, Beloy Hanoch Nefishon, even without that consideration of Arlus having more unique points of stringency to it, Nami lo motzis amris shavkinan arlus dechtib begufei de pesach v'yafinan aninus mi pesach de pesach gufei mi meiser gamrinon. Now that was a long sentence we just read, and before, when we introduced the korban pesach as being prohibited in aninus, we said there's a source for it, and we didn't explain what that source was. But now we have to pause and explain what that source is. You'll notice Rashi, in a very brief fashion, reveals to us, just a couple lines below this, Rashi says, Ma Pesach, Oinein, we said, an Oinein, Bechule, etc., means that Pesach, anyone is an Oinein, is Osir in it. So we suggested, we should say the same by Truma. Now, how do you know the Pesach has this Oinein restriction? The Alfinon, Rashi says, Lekulhu Kotshim, we learn all sacrifices, the Korban Pesach being one of them, Kalvachomer mi Meiser. There's a logical Kalvachomer approach that we make, that we do, we employ from Meiser. Meiser Sheni, that is a tithe that people bring on several of the years of the sabbatical cycle. We know regarding the Meiser tithe, the Pasuk says, Lo achalti ba'oini mimenu, I did not consume Meiser Sheni while I was an Oine. And Meiser Sheni, relative to sacrifices, is a lower level issue, lower level example of sanctity. And yet we know that the Meiser Sheni is prohibited to an Oine. Kal v'chomer, all the more so, sacrifices are prohibited to an Onain. So what's the source of an Onain's restriction from a Korban Pesach? Is it something that's written in the topic of the Pesach itself? No. It is derived from another source, from an outside source. We have an issue right now of Kotshim, of a Pesach, being the basis of something by Truma. So I want to learn from Kochim to Truma, but what? Should I learn Aninus or should I learn Arlus? So the Gemara told us, and we'll read this, we'll have to read this line again, but the Gemara told us that though we know by a Pesach both are Osir, an Onein and an Orel. I know that Pesach is going to teach me concerning Truma. What should Pesach, for which one of these two should Pesach be the source? So the Gemara tells us that Pesach should be the source of that which is written in, or written explicitly in the topic of Pesach, as opposed to something that it's, that information itself that was extraneous or imported to Pesach from another source. Being that Aninus is something not written by Pesach itself, it's kind of, it's a weaker type topic in the eyes of Rava. So now let's go over this again, but in the Gemara's words. Rava says, below Hanach Nefishon, even without this consideration of more elements that you find by Arlus over Aninus, we still will opt to learn Arlus from Pesach to Truma. Below Hanach Nefishon Nami Lomotzis Amris, you can't say Shavkinun Arlus, let us abandon Arlus, Dixiv Begufe de Pesach, which is written inherently or explicitly in the topic of Pesach, the Alfinon Aninus, and then go and derive Aninus Mi Pesach from Pesach to Truma, the Pesach Gufe Mi Meister Gamrinon, the Pesach itself is derived from the topic of Meister Sheni. We continue with a new question. We said that we're going to learn Truma from Pesach. How far do we go with this comparison? Ema Pesach Mila Zechor Vavodav Ma'akeves Boy Ma'akeves Af Truma Mila Zechor Vavodav Ma'akeves. We said earlier that a person who owns heathen slaves or has his own male children that are uncircumcised, that restricts the father or the owner himself from eating the Pesach. Are we going to say the same thing by a Kohen who has, let's say, an uncircumcised son or slaves, that the owner cannot eat Truma? Omar Kro, the Pesach says, no. Umalta Isoi Oz Yoichal Boy. That's a Pesach. And that Pesach is by the Korban Pesach. And there is a limitation expression in this Pesach. Milas Zechorov Avodov Ma'keves Boy Milechol B'Pesach. The word bo that we had dashed underlined, as we said, is a limitation expression, meaning only in it, in the Korban Pesach, do we say that the circumcision of one's members of household are a restrictive factor. The ein milas zechor vavod of makeves betruma, as opposed to truma consumption, the male members of his household do not, who are uncircumcised, do not pose a restriction. The Gemara asks, Ihochi, if bo is something that you are focusing on, Emo, so say the following. This is a pasuk written by the Korban Pesach. It says, Kol Orel Loy Yoichal Boy. And then conclude, Boy Einu Ochel, in the Pesach, the Orel is restricted. Aval Ochel Hu Betruma, but he, the Orel, could eat Truma. Contrary, of course, to what we've said all along. So the Gemara responds and says that to suggest that the Orel should be allowed to eat Truma based on the bow limitation, Haksiv, but on the other hand, we have Toshav and Sochir. We have this Toshav and Sochir Gezer Shava that teaches me that the Oriel is also in eating Truma. So on the one hand, you have Boi. Bo could have led me to conclude that the Oriel should be allowed to eat Truma. On the other hand, you have Toshav and Sochir that says, no. Uma Rois, what is it that you see fit to conclude the conclusion that we have made so far? What is the conclusion we have made so far to say that an Orel is in fact Osir in Truma, and that was derived from Toshav and Sochir, and to say that Milas, that when it comes to Milas Zechor Vavonov, that is not a limitation factor by Truma, and that is limited only to the Korban Pesach. So what is it, what do you see that you, it's kind of like pick and choose? The limitation that applies to Milas Zechor Vavonov, the inclusion through the Gzeros Shavah that applies to oneself being uncircumcised. The more answers, Mistabra Arlis de Gufei Havei Lilibuye. It's most likely that when it comes to your own lack of circumcision, that is a disqualifying factor in Truma, that we should include it as a restrictive factor, like we find by Pesach Shekein, Maise Begufo V'Onesh Kores. First of all, as we saw above, it's something that you do in your own body, making it just a bit more severe than anything else. And also it carries with it a kores penalty. As opposed to a person that owns slaves who didn't bother circumcising his son, so as a father he acted improperly, but the father isn't subject to kores. That's the person himself that becomes an adult and doesn't circumcise himself. So Arlis de Gufei is something that is more restrictive. As we just said, it's a Maise Begufo, it's something you do in your own body, and it carries with it a Kores penalty. Well, Adarabo, I can argue to the contrary. Mila Zechor HaVavodav HaVei Leilir Buye Shekein Yesh LeBuchol Shah. The circumcision of one's sons and slaves should be a limiting factor for one's eating of Truma, that's what I should compare or derive from Pesach. Why? Because it's something that's Yesh LeBuchol Shah, could be at any time. As far as one's own circumcision is concerned, that's a one-time event. One cuts off his foreskin and he's done with it. However, at any time a person might have children, at any time a person might buy a heathen servant. So that would be a factor of stringency. It's something that's applicable all the time. The Gemara says, Hanoch Nefishin. You'll notice that there are more points of emphasis or of stringency that you find by Arlis de Gufei, one's own lack of circumcision as in favor of it being a restrictive factor. So you find more considerations, and we have find two versus one. The Iboy Asema, another approach the Gemara says, is below Hanach Nefishanami Lomotzis Amris. Even without the numerical consideration, the fact that there are two points in favor of Arlis de Gufei, I still would have opted for Arlis de Gufei as being the restrictive factor derived from Truma. Mi Iko Midi, could there be anything? Da Arlis de Gufei Lo Ma'akfabe. Can you imagine, again, here's something logical, that you yourself are uncircumcised, and that would be a non-restrictive factor. We would say that's okay, and Arlis Dachrini Ma'akfabe. But the fact that your children or your slaves are not circumcised, that would be a restrictive factor. As logic says, first you got to take care of yourself before worrying about others. So even on a logical basis, if I have to choose one over the other as being a restrictive factor, I'm going to choose one's own lack of circumcision as opposed to the lack of servants or sons having been circumcised. Hashto, the Amris boy, the Jerusha Hudasa. Now that we've demonstrated that the word boi, when you have an arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, you can see where we saw this above. So we see that when the Torah uses the word bo, there is something that's being limited or excluded. So we ask, what do you do with the word bo in two more cases? And you see we have a double underline, and on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh heading, these are oid droshos al ma bo ben lemai. What does the word, that is, what is the word bo? Al ma bo boi lemai. The Gemara, bottom line, kol ben nechor lo yochal bo. This is by the Korban Pesach. It says, oh, anyone who's a ben nechor shall not consume it. The term ben nechor is assumed to mean someone who is an apostate, someone who is a heretic. So we say, boi, bo is by the Korban Pesach. Once again, this is a pasuk by the Pesach. So we say, in the case of the Korban Pesach, boi hamoras das poselas. If someone is a heretic, he is not to partake of the Korban Pesach. V'ein hamoras das poselas b'meiser. When it comes to the eating of meiser sheni, someone might be a heretic, but that doesn't mean that he cannot eat of the meiser tithe. Another question, here's a pasuk we saw very recently. Kol oreo lo yochal bo lomali. What do I derive from this pasuk? From the word bo. We explain, boi einu ochel, apel ochel hu b'matzu moror. The uncircumcised is restricted from eating the meat of the paschal lamb, of the Korban Pesach. But he is not excluded from partaking of the matzen moror. Matzah and Moror are part and parcel of the Korban Pesach in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. The pasuk says, "Al matzos umrorim yochluhu." Together with the Korban Pesach, one eats matzah and moror. And here the halacha is making a split within that pasuk, namely that the orel is restricted only from the Korban Pesach meat. He's not restricted from the accompanying matzah and moror. We just saw there are two types of people that are restricted from a Korban Pesach. One is someone who is a heretic, and the other is someone who is uncircumcised. Could it not have been possible for the Torah to write just one? And I figure the other one is just like it. That just like the Orel shall not eat from a Korban Pesach to a heretic should not eat, or vice versa. Why does the Torah spell out both? So our Gemara tells us the Torah needs to spell out both. Otherwise, I would have come to an erroneous conclusion. D'i kosav rachmona, and you see we squiggle on the line this expression, kosav rachmona, but to emphasize how both are, each one is necessary. The ikos of Rachmona Orel, had the Torah written just Orel as being disqualified from the Pesach, Mishum de Mois. Now this is a term, we can give a literal definition, but it's something that requires further analysis and certainly a certain heightened level of sensitivity. The word Mois means disgusting. A Jewish male that still has the foreskin on his body, that is considered disgusting. Mois would have to associate with something that has, I guess, at least in this context, some element of physicality. Avol ben nechor, someone who is a heretic, now as reprehensible and as how unforgiving it is to be a heretic, one thing is we can't describe that as mois, as something that's disgusting. It has to do with something that you can see. Simply, it's something objective. You can see it. You see, the term mois, if I'm not mistaken, I'm saying this by memory, you might find this also in the case of idolatry. Whereas something that's purely a state of mind, which is something that is characteristic of a heretic. There's nothing physical, there's no physicality to that. It's something, it's a mere state of mind, so we cannot describe that by using the word mos. So, had the Torah written just Orel, I would say that is a disqualifying factor from the Korban Pesach because it's mos. Avol ben nechar delo mois, a heretic that we can't describe as mois, emolo, maybe he's not disqualified from eating the Korban Pesach. V'ikos of Rachmana kol ben nechar, and had the Torah said that a ben nechar is disqualified and not having written Orel, I would say mishum te'ein libo lo shamayim, because his heart is not heavenwards. Avol Orel, the libo lo shamayim, the Orel, as we described at the beginning of the perek, today's shir, the Orel is someone whose brothers died. It's a life-threatening issue right now for this fellow. Fellow's a totally righteous individual. He can't circumcise himself because it would be life-threatening. So as far as his heart is concerned, his mind, he is libo lo shamayim. His mind is of pure thought. Libo lo shamayim, he has divine thoughts on his mind. He's not disconnected from the Almighty. So Amalo, maybe he should not be disqualified. Tzricha, therefore, it was necessary for the Torah to write that the Orel nevertheless is disqualified from the Korban Pesach. We have more other limitation expressions by the Korban Pesach. And Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, Mimenu, the Pesach says, Al tochlu mimenu no. Kevan yamar is bo limute bo in it. It is a limitation expression, it and not something else. Mimenu, the word mimenu also means from it. Is nami limuti mashma is also a limitation expression. And you find in the context of the Korban Pesach the word mimenu several times. So the Gemara is asking, mimenu, mimenu, lomali. What am I to derive from these limitation expressions? The Gemara answers, L'chida Rabba. L'chida Rabba om Rabbi Yitzchak. I need it for that which Rabba says in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, the Gemara here doesn't elaborate. This is something that will be discussed later on Daf Ayin Dalet. And Rashi says, L'kaman bepirkin, T'losu mimenu k'siva bepirkin. There are three times the word mimenu appears by the case of Korban Pesach, and there, later on, the Gemara will elaborate. As you can see, we have a second bow tie. This is beis. Here the Gemara, as we mentioned at the very beginning, here the Gemara will be relating to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that was featured in the source that which opened up today's perek, that the source for Orel being Osir is from the double expression of Ish Ish. So Mirtz Hashem, in our next year, we'll get into that. But before we conclude, however, let us remind you, if you wish to be in touch with us, in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.